This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, September the 26th. Is yet again, the Phillies get their butts whooped out in Colorado last night, and for the first time since the beginning of April, this Philadelphia Phillies team is now under 500. What a precipitous and depressing fall we have had this season for this team. And look, they lose last night again, 10-3 after losing 10-1 the night before. Rockies just get all over them early and don't stop. The Phillies score a run in the third to take a 1-0 lead, and then by the fifth inning, they were down 8-1. So it was one of those kinds of nights for this Phillies team, really. Not much to get excited about. Rhys Hoskins had a nice little double there. Kingery, a couple doubles. Vinny Velasquez, a very poor outing, goes 3 2/3, gives up 6 earned. Just another terrible game from this Phillies team. As obviously very easily, officially eliminated from the playoffs. This Phillies team has now lost 6 straight games. They have lost 8 of 10. They have lost 46. So it has been a steep, steep drop. And again, losing 10-3 and 10-1 in their last two games that meant something for the Colorado Rockies obviously didn't mean anything for this Phillies team. And look, it's disappointing. It's disappointing to see this Phillies team go out and give zero effort. And I understand it. Look, baseball is a grind. 162 games is intense and long. It's 162 games over, 180-something days? It's a real grind. It is tough. It takes a lot out of you. It's hard to get it up to come back each and every night, each and every day. And it gets a lot harder when, after a long push for a particular goal, in this case making it to the playoffs, when you push so hard for so long and then it all goes away and there's really nothing you could do about it except finish out your string, I can understand how you're going to get less than top tier effort. I get it. It's just the way we are. Humans are humans, right? And baseball players are humans. So I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, and certainly disappointed with just the lack of fight at all. And the reason we can't really excuse it is, sure, this Rockies series, there is no reason for them to play, but they just lost 4 straight in Atlanta in a series that, at least in theory, they were still alive in the playoffs for. You know, at least there was a outside chance. And we just have not seen enough fight from this Phillies team. And again, the last two nights, granted, both after being eliminated from the playoffs, but man, just awful, awful performances out in Colorado. Tough games to watch. Tough to watch those games. Tough to stay up till 11:30, midnight, whatever it was, to just watch a lifeless effort. So look, let's dive into it, because it does seem, and we have a couple more shows this week, we'll continue to do what we've been doing, look ahead to 2019 and look back at 2018. But today it does seem like we kind of need to address the elephant in the room here for Philadelphia Phillies fans and the organization. And I didn't even think this was possible to be a discussion point, especially over numerous points of the season, but it seems like the number one topic being discussed around this Phillies team right now is, should the Phillies fire Gabe Kapler after his first season as a major league manager? I think you've all listened to this show enough to know what my answer would be. A definitive no, they should not fire Gabe Kapler. But there is a strong push being made from the media, from the fan base. There are a lot of people who are not happy with the job that Gabe Kapler has done. And I get it. Look, it's easy to forget or to push to the side the first 4 months of the season. It's easy to say, you know, they got lucky. They were just winning games because of luck or whatever it was. And to not give Gabe any credit for doing what he did before with, again, a less talented squad than others in the league, a squad with little to no experience, a group of younger players, and again, a manager in his first season doing that job. So here's the thing. And again, if I were a betting man, I would bet on Gabe Kapler not being fired. I believe that this organization believes in him and they will give him more of an opportunity to prove it. And again, yes, it has been an awful swoon, a rough, rough decline here to the nadir of the season here that they have found themselves at. And I understand now that streak of poor play can really sour people. But again, this is a team that has won more games than they lost. Won significantly more games than they won last season. They're at 78 right now as opposed to 66. And sure, that in and of itself isn't just the only reason for improvement. But you do have to take it into account. And you have to, again, look at a manager who had never managed in big league baseball before. It takes time to learn how to do the right things. It takes reps to understand what the right decisions are in the right spots. It takes experience. I mean, giving a guy 1 year and canning him is tough, man. You don't see that in Major League Baseball very often. Obviously, an interim manager is a different story. And even then, a lot of times, like with Pete McCannon, you see interim managers get the opportunity to coach another season. It's just, it's really rare. And obviously, in this case, if it did happen, and again, I don't think it will, but I think that would be a decision coming down from ownership and being forced to be carried out, because Matt Klentak hired Gabe Kapler for a reason. And since this slide has begun, Matt Klentak has addressed the media and said, look, I was brought here to do something different. I'm going to do things different. That's what my job is. And you know I support that. I'm all for market inefficiencies. I'm all for finding new ways to do things. Just because someone's done something for 100 years doesn't mean it's the best way to do it. It might be the best way to do it, but this doesn't mean that it is just because they've been doing it that way. And I love the concept of trying to find new and interesting ways to gain advantages in a sport where there are a lot of smart people running these teams. So you need to be creative. You need to be different to try and find advantages, to find those market inefficiencies. And I think that Matt Klentak hired Gabe Kapler for that reason. A manager who is in lockstep with the organizational philosophies on trying things differently, trying to base things on analytical research, trying to look at what numbers say and factor that out and use that to make decisions. That's an organizational push for this Phillies team, very clearly. I mean, they've gone from the least analytically inclined organization in baseball to the most. And I think that that's part of the reason that there's a bit of a culture shock here in Philadelphia for the vast majority of fans in this city. Look, I get it. You know, you go from the Ruben Amaro era to the Matt Klentak era. It's a hell of a jump. It's like 0 to 60. It's going from nothing to everything. So I understand how there are a lot of fans who are like, whoa, what's going on? Why are we doing that? That seems stupid. I've never seen that before. And I do believe that over time, these things will ultimately work, or certain things will work, or more things will work than won't, let's say. But you don't know what's going to work until you try them. And I understand it. And again, I think from an organizational perspective, I don't think that the Phillies expected the team to be much better than they are right now this season. I think they thought we've got maybe a 500 team. And that's with the signings of Arrieta and Santana. I mean, you just look at the team, and that's what we said all season. How are they winning these games? How are they getting it done? So to damn Gabe Kapler for a season where a team won more games than they did last season by a significant margin, yet still was flawed in so many areas. The biggest sign he made, Jake Arrieta, sucked. The other biggest sign he made, Carlos Santana, had a first 4 months that were terrible. Has been really good lately, but no one likes to talk about that. But terrible first 4 months. The roster itself is as bad a, as deficient a talent defensive roster as I have seen in a long time. Nobody can field on this team. Your best bullpen beast was a guy who was in single A at the start of the season or right before the season. And again, you look at this team top to bottom, it's youth, it's inexperience. And again, I think in some cases there are lacks of talent. So while I don't think that Gabe Kapler should be absolved or get off clean or whatever for this struggle this team has had, for this run of just awful play, I absolutely think Gabe Kapler is blame in that. You have to. He's the manager of the baseball team. This team has been a train wreck for 2 months now. Again, they somehow went from 15 games over 500 in August to one game under right now. It's monumental. I mean, that is a monumental collapse in terms of wins and losses. And doing it against teams like the Mets and the Nationals and the Marlins and all these teams that the Phillies should be better than. I mean, they lost back-to-back series to the Marlins, the Mets, the Nationals, the Marlins. You know what I mean? Like, they finally won that series against the Marlins. They have just been an incredibly, incredibly disappointing team over the second half of the season. And I think Gabe Kapler absolutely deserves some blame for that. He was in charge of the team. They were winning a bunch of games, and then they lost a bunch of games. Sure, that's got to go on his resume. Absolutely. But I'm also not saying that first and foremost, that all of it is on him. All right? I mean, it's a funny thing with baseball managers. It seems like when things are going great, they get zero credit for it. And when things are going bad, they take all the heat for it. It's very strange. And I don't think you can have it both ways. Look, if you were giving Kapler credit for getting the team to where they were into the beginning of August and all that, and a team, again, that had played atrocious defense all year, that did not have bats you can count on, that until they made some trades was by far the youngest in baseball. And again, a manager who had literally never managed above the independent league level. And that for 1 year. So if you believe, like I do, that Kapler deserves credit for that first part of the season for how well that team played up until then, then you also have to give them a bit of the quote-unquote credit or lack thereof when they fail here. But again, you can't do one and not the other, right? I mean, you can't say that it's his fault they're losing so much, but he had nothing to do with the winning earlier. And I think that's where we're at with Kapler. Everyone is willing to bang the guy, but no one gives him any credit for the good things he's done. It's all the worst. It's all the shifts and the numbers and the stats and blah, 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 blah. That's what it is. And it almost feels like people have been waiting for him to fail all season long. For people who booed him at home on the first time he stepped on the field here in Philly this season, people were just waiting to pounce. Well, they're pouncing. We'll continue to talk about this Kapler thing. I want to dive a little deeper in it. And then, of course, look ahead to tonight's game in Colorado as they mercifully only 5 games left in this season. Can't end soon enough at this rate as this team just incredibly, incredibly depressing finish to the season. We'll continue to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We are coming right back. We are back. Phillies Today. James Seltzer. We continue the deep dive on the Gabe Kapler of it all. Again, I am just floored by the amount of people who want this guy gone. And I've said many times that the fact that people care at all is a good sign that this is a Phillies team that's been a long time since they have played meaningful baseball. They played meaningful baseball this year. It didn't go well, ultimately, in the long run. And people are livid about it. And I think that's a good thing, at least in the sense that people care again. People are paying attention to the Phillies again, that people give a crap what happens in their games. That is a good thing, but it has also led to a situation where I think that it's a little unfair, the criticism of Gabe Kapler. Has he made mistakes? Absolutely. Has he done things that I have looked up and gone, why are you doing that, buddy? Yeah, absolutely. But has he also done some good things? Yes. Has he found a way to win games at times that we didn't expect them to win? Yes. Has he had a tough, resilient bunch for 4 months of the season as opposed to 2 months without that? Yes. And I think that he's learned. We haven't seen him make the same mistakes over and over and over again. I do think, flipping back to the criticism of Kapler, I think the 40-man rosters in September have really hurt him. It almost seems like he's hamstrung by them. Like there are just so many moves available to him that he can't help himself and he has to overmanage. I do think that the Kapler we've seen in September has been different from the Kapler we saw through August. It feels like the 40-man rosters might be a bit of an issue for him. A little too much moves, a little too much willingness to make moves. And I understand it too in the sense that, look, when you are however many games back you are and you are fighting for a playoff spot, every game matters. Like, you know, every loss is one more nail in that coffin. I understand managing with urgency. I actually think that most managers in baseball don't manage with enough urgency in those types of situations. If your starter doesn't have it, pull him after an inning. Pull him after two. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You've got the arms to go, and also that game is too important to even risk getting away from you. So I'm fine with that as a general principle. I just think that there have been far too many times where we've seen Kapler pull pitchers too early, looking at advantages, whether it's a pinch hitting advantage or whether it's a new pitcher to, you know, a righty versus righty, lefty versus lefty, whatever. I just feel like the matchups have dictated a little too much of what Kapler's done in September. And I think that's hindered him a little bit. But I think that when you look at it on the whole, again, this is a guy who came in with zero Major League Baseball managerial experience. He's not even a guy who's been on coaching staffs. He was in player development. It was an outside-the-box hire to bring Gabe Kapler in here, which is also part of the reason why I don't think Matt Klentak's firing him at the end of this season. That's Matt Klentak's guy. He handpicked Gabe Kapler to run this franchise. And look, I get it. We've talked about this a lot this season, and I understand it. Gabe Kapler is not a Philadelphia type of guy. He's not the type of guy we love here generally. He's super positive. He seems super laid back. Nothing ever gets him. Nothing ever irks him. He's never going to throw his players under the bus. He's going to talk about analytics. He's going to use things like FIP and WOBA and all these stats that people hate. That's all going to happen. That's who Gabe Kapler is. And I get it if that's not your guy. It's not a quote-unquote Philly guy. I get it. I really do. I get it. But at the same time, I have so much trouble getting as angry about these things as other people do. I agree. Look, I understand that when your team has played like crap for 2 months and you're losing games where it looks like at times your team is not even showing up on the field, sometimes you got to come out and say something. I get it. Look, Gabe Kapler's never going to throw his players under the bus. It's just not who he is. That's just not the type of guy he is. He doesn't believe in criticizing his players publicly. And I have said many times that I support and understand that. I know that personally, if someone came out and criticized me publicly, oh, James, he's a terrible talker, isn't that going to help me if my boss says that? It's not going to make me do any better. It's just going to make me mad and annoyed and frustrated. So I can understand that aspect of it. We, of course, just have to hope that in the locker room, Kapler is handling business when needed and putting guys in their place, as it were. But Kapler's never going to be that guy. And I'm okay with that. I don't need him to rip his players. I don't think there's a ton of positive value coming from that. But I do think that it is fair to say that in certain situations, maybe Gabe shouldn't sugarcoat things quite as much. And again, not ripping his players in particular, but instead of saying, oh, we're going to go out and we're going to fight and that's what we could do or blah, 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 just go ahead and say, hey, listen, I understand it. We haven't played great. You know, maybe, and he started to do that a little bit the last couple weeks here, but just be a little more honest with people when things aren't going well. And I just think it'll go a long way for Gabe. And again, I don't care. There have been many great coaches in the history of sports. I don't know, one named Bill Belichick comes to mind, who have never told the media anything, who have never given the media any sort of currency or value to use. They've never talked about their players. They've never talked about issues they have or whatever. And it's worked out pretty well for them. So I understand it and I have no problem with it. I just think that for Gabe, it's going to help him out a lot if he just is a little more honest about things and maybe just a little bit more terse at times, maybe. But I do think that it will help him. And look, I think there's a huge offseason for this team, as we've discussed many times and will continue to over the next couple of days here, that I think this franchise could be made or broken this offseason. The importance of going to get a Harper or a Machado or trading for a Trout or doing whatever is paramount. It is huge for the future of this franchise. And I think that, you know, if they wanted to fire the manager before the biggest offseason in the history of the franchise, I think that'd be a mistake. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, but Harper won't want a player with Kapler. I don't think that's true. Players play for all kinds of different managers. They want to get paid. They want to go somewhere they think they'll like living. And I think that the Phillies are going to plop down the cash for those guys and say, hey, here's the money. Come here. And I think that Gabe Kapler is going to be the manager because, again, I think it shows such an instability to fire your manager after a team wins 12, 13, 14, whatever, more games than they did last season. I just don't see it happening. I could be wrong, but I just don't see, and again, I don't see any chance it's Matt Klentak who decides to make that decision. And I would be very surprised if John Middleton came down and said, you are firing Gabe Kapler, we're not doing this again. I'd be shocked. I know there's I would bet you the if you polled Philadelphia Phillies fans right now, I'll bet you more than not would say he should go. Which is crazy. Again, a first-year manager. But I think that's where a lot of people's heads are at. So it's going to be discussed. But I believe that Kapler will make it through. And I believe he's going to be a better manager. And I believe that it's going to be one of those things where people criticize the guy and then all of a sudden he proves them all wrong. So that's where I am at with Gabe Kapler. All right, tonight the Phillies get back at it. Has won two more against the Rockies, 8-4 tonight, and then 3-10 tomorrow. Nick Pavetta takes elegance, German Marquez. Marquez has been freaking awesome lately for the Rockies, so that means the Phillies will probably beat him tonight, right? No, just kidding. I'm sure the Phillies will lose. I would never bet on them to win a game the rest of the season the way they've been playing, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. Either way, we'll be back to talk about that and a whole lot more tomorrow. A couple more shows left in this 2018 season. A disappointing one, but a lot of hope still for the future. So again, thank you for listening to Phillies Today. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.